Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David Johnston.
Now, this is a profound scripture. Jesus said, I'm come. There are people who come. There are thieves that come. They come to steal from you. How's your finances doing? There are thieves that come to steal from you. And they got a whole lot of techniques to get your moolah. And there are those who come to kill. And there are those who come to destroy you. There are so many destructive forces going on right now. Politically, militarily, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially. I mean, we live in a country that's supposed to be the most advanced in the whole world, and the majority of people require pills to stay operable every day because there are destructive forces going on. But Jesus said this, but I've come that you might have life. And not merely life, but he says, I want you to have it more abundantly. I want you to have life at its very finest. Now, if you think Jesus is a killjoy, you need to change your thinking. Somebody got to you. The thief got there. The enemy got there. And you have an idea about Jesus that is just flat dead wrong. He'll put more fun in your life and more joy than you ever thought you could have. You'll have more peace than you ever thought possible. You'll have more financial ability. You'll have more productivity. You'll have more of everything that's good. Because that's the promise he made. And that's one of the things that sets him apart from everybody else on this planet. His agenda for you is your well-being. No other. No covert, no hidden motives. Nothing but the best for you. So much so that he sends the Holy Spirit to make sure that happens. And between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're committed to make everything that it's happening in your life turn out for good. That's that scripture we just quoted some while ago. Everything's working together for your good. Now, don't make any mistake about Jesus. Now, the enemies of Jesus want you to think that they are right and that Jesus is wrong. There's a propaganda machinery going on worldwide. Majorly, it's affecting these United States of America and Europe. And it is to turn the world upside down. It is to make you think that evil is really a really nice thing. A really good thing. And to make you think that good is somehow boring and evil and to be rejected. And that's why the scripture comes along and says, woe unto them that put good for evil and evil for good. And here's the tragedy, dear friends. Is a person can spend their whole life thinking they're pursuing what's good for themselves when it's not. So, I was there, weren't you? And what that requires is an interruption. It requires Jesus to come. He's the only one who can do this, by the way. And if you'll allow him to interrupt your downward rush, your mode of self-destruction. See, that's why we hardly even need a devil anymore. Because he's got through to so many people and they're destroying themselves. We don't need a devil. People are doing it to themselves. He can move on to somebody else. But Jesus comes to might set you free from all that. And that's why I love him, don't you? I love him. It's the best thing ever happened in my life. I love him. Now, his goal is your abundance. And look, he's rich unto all. In other words, he's not just rich to me or some few others. The same Lord is over all, that is over all, is rich towards all them that will call upon him. Well, this is so delightful. All right, now we've got to back up. And I'm going to try and do this as briefly as possible for the few of you who were not here last Sunday morning. To miss last Sunday morning was a tragedy. It was a tragedy if you missed last Sunday morning. Because it was landmark. It's my life message. It's the Bible's life message. It's the core message of Scripture. And I'm going to back up only so slightly. Okay, so before we can talk this morning about why we love the Lordship of Jesus in our lives, we want to talk about what is the Lordship, what is how we understand the Lordship. And your life is divided up into many of these different areas, and we could name some of them. You can have habits in your job, you could put in here, and parents, and most of us have parents, and some of us have spouses, and there's this area of money, and then there's sexuality, and we call this an etc. So this is your life. And the antinomian gospel comes along. And by the way, I probably referred to it several times this morning, because it is the major issue in the American gospel today. It's called antinomianism. I don't know how much time I'll get into the theology of it, but it is why the American church is divided into two sections. And the division is not this way, it is this way. And antinomianism is not the gospel. And I hope you'll get an interest in theology. And that would be delightful for us to have special meetings where people who are interested in theology really pursue this in depth. But antinomianism comes along and says, well, hey, you can just bring Jesus. You just believe in Jesus and let him come into this area of life and you are saved. And that's their gospel. Now, the problem with it is, watch the diagram with me. The problem with it is that all these other areas are not affected by Jesus, because Jesus has been relegated to some department, some compartment, some piece of your life, and like adding another section to your life. Might even involve a certain amount of religious duty to believe he's there. You might have to show up to church once in a while, you got to do a prayer once in a while and mumble a grace or whatever. So we give Jesus this piece of our life, and we think that that is salvation, when in fact it is not. This is the biggest error perpetuated in American evangelicalism. This does not appear anywhere else in the other countries of the world. This gospel that I'm referring to on the screen is not preached in any other country except where American missionaries and evangelists have taken it there. No place else. It originated in modern times here. Now, let's go back and let's redo the diagram. This time, we're going to put your heart in the center here. This is a different diagram. We still have these sections of our life. We'll add children in here. And by the way, you keep having these children. We're going to grow this church one way or another. And this is delightful. We have about five showers coming up. So get ready and start saving your coins for all those diapers and whatever we do at showers. So we're putting the section in. Now, this diagram is a little different, but in order to help your eyesight, I want to blow the diagram up. I want to blow the heart up so you can see it here in bigger time like this. And it is as if in your heart there is a chair there, but it's not just an ordinary casual stool. It's better understood in Europe as a throne, a place of rulership. It's the place in our heart that was reserved by God for himself. He didn't just create mankind like he did the animals and loose them to follow their predetermined program to beavers to build dams and cats to meow and dogs to bark, etc. And he didn't make they all are ruled by a program put in there by God called instinct. And that's why they don't break out of their instinctive pre-programmed nature. But when he made man, he created a creator, all right? And he reserved in this creation, his highest creation, a group of beings that are in the same category of himself, capable of having discussion with him, capable of having interaction with him, capable of fellowship with him, would you believe? And in order to make sure that these beings created, called humanity, stay on track, it required that they have some fundamental operating system that will control all the programs that run. And so the central operating system is this we call the throne. But if it was talking about a computer, instead of a picture of a throne, we have the OS there. And Jesus is the OS. He is the operating system that controls what programs are even allowed in this machine and how they operate. And so it's the place that he reserved in man's heart for himself, because without that, you'll have a defunct, ill-operating system that will cause wrong programming and destructive. So he reserved this place for himself because this humanity couldn't just be loosed without any limitation. He needed to have some control center, some management core. Right? Some management core. So that's why we call this a throne. And what this throne is reserved for Jesus in here. Now, this is fundamentally important. Let me back up to the diagram here, just this one. Because watch here now. Once we get Jesus in here, instead of this, remember before he was out here, right? In one of these sections. But now that he is central here, he is able, watch this now, he's able to show you how to be successful in the job. He shows you how to make money, how to preserve money, how to make money go farther for you than any other investment program. He wants to show you how to have a successful and pure sex life. He wants to show you how to have a relationship in your marriage that's second to none, that's knock your socks off, drop dead, gorgeously wonderful marriage. He knows how to put that thing together if he's in the management position. Now, if you say, well, hey, Jesus, I'm not going to let you. I'm going to do in my marriage what I want to do. Then you'll mess up the picture. But if you let him manage. And so he's going to show you how to raise your parents. He's going to show you how to raise your children. He's in every area of your life, because what has happened here is that you brought Jesus Christ into your life, not as some little piece of your life, but you brought him into the core position, the God position. Now, listen to this now, the management position. And because he's in the management position, because he's in the driver's seat, so to speak, he can take you where, you know, because he's the operating system, all the other programs will be brought under the control of that operating system, and some programs won't even be allowed into the machine. Jesus has got bad stuff. The viruses don't get in. This operating system, if it's Jesus in your life, has the capability of, you don't even have extra programs to do this. He has a way of repelling any viral attacks, and you'll keep your core intact. And if the core is intact, so will the rest of the computer. You follow that now? All right. I'm going fast. Is that okay if I go fast? I'm telling you, I have to go fast because it's a review. All right. So what is this? What do we mean then by understanding the lordship of Jesus? Here it is. It is the enthronement of Jesus Christ in the Lord. Now, this word Lord means master, boss, ruler, position. And that means you put Jesus there by repentance and faith. He paid the price to get there, get everything else out of the way so he could be there. And repentance and faith are merely your response to his grace. Let me get this out of me, because you've got to get this. Repentance is not a work that you do. It's a response to Jesus. You got that? Faith isn't even something you do. It's a response to Jesus. And with these two responses, Jesus gets into this heart core of us, and he takes his proper position, the Lord position. You can call it the God position. Another thing is the ultimate management position. The ultimate management position. That's where he is. And he's in this position, watch this now, to rule unchallenged by anyone or anything, by any idea, by any other philosophy, by any other idealism, by any other personality. So when we talk about understanding the lordship of Jesus in your life, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about having him in the driver's seat, so to speak, in the throne, on the throne, the operating system, if you want to follow that analogy. And he lives there, and he rules there, and he lives out, shows us how to rule and run the rest of our life. And if we let him into this managed position, that's what he promises, that everything will work together for your good. Everything, 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 everything. All right? Because you're in the management. Let me slow down. Only for a few seconds. The most important issue in your life and mine is to have a management system. If you don't have management happening, right, good, proper management happening, all of your skills, all of your talents, All of your finances, all the stuff you think are so wonderful, will never amount to anything because they're not being managed. And I'm going to declare to you so boldly as I can this morning, oh, beloved, this is the core of the whole gospel. Get your life under management. Jesus and a little piece of your life won't do. It is a false sense of security. That's why we sung moments ago with such sweet dedication. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. That's it. That's what we mean by lordship. Now, I want to skip now to the end of last week's message and get started on today. I got to put the scripture in first. Because nothing I say matters if it doesn't agree with the Bible. You get that? Nothing I say matters if it doesn't agree with the Bible. Have you got that straight? You will not irritate me to have that attitude. In fact, I'll be irritated if you don't have that attitude to the preacher. Nothing I say, unless it agrees with the Bible, is worth your hearing. So let me give you a little addendum to that. Nothing anybody says to you that disagrees with Jesus or the Bible is worth listening to either. So I want to make sure that you know that these ideas that I'm giving to you today, they're not my ideas. This is a God idea. So let's look at this. So God had highly exalted, this hymn is referring to Jesus, and given Jesus a name, which is above every name, isn't that wonderful? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, watch this. Every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. Now, I wish I had time to spend on the in heaven, in earth, and the under the earth things. The under the earth things is referring to the departed dead who are being held, holding, until the day of judgment. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, watch this. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, this is it, this is it, that Jesus Christ is the boss. He is the Lord. He is the master. And they are, and everybody will confess ultimately, we do it now. Are you with me now? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That is the critical confession, that Jesus is my Lord. To confess Him in the rulership position of your life, and that confession cannot be a lie. That's why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord? Don't do the things I said. Not everyone that says Lord or shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what the management says gets to heaven. All right. Now watch this. That every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Now watch this, because I want to show you here a fundamental truth that we've discussed already, but a different approach from the scripture. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, wherefore, what does this mean? We never see wherefore, therefore. You want to know why. Therefore, what is therefore? Wherefore, since you are confessing Him as Lord, my beloved, now watch this, as you have always obeyed. Not just when I'm there, but even when I'm absent. Now, watch here now. You're getting it. I'm giving you a phenomenal, a large concept right now that begs an hour, but I'm giving to you in the next 90 seconds or so. The evidence of confessing His lordship is obedience. To say He is Lord and not do what He says is the false witness. You follow that? Now watch here, because here's how this whole gospel thing works out in your life. Ready? So, wherefore, since you confess that Jesus is Lord, you say obedient, always obeyed, even in our absence, and what you need to do now is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. You made Him the Lord, and now you got to work it out. You got to work it out in your marriage. You got to work it out in your mind, in your private thinking life. You got to work it out in your imaginations. You got to work this lordship out in your relationships. You got to work this lordship thing out in your job. You got to work this lordship thing out in your finances. That is because that's what's going to salvage all these areas of your life, because you're working out the lordship. And that's what it means. Since you've confessed Him as Lord, the right thing to do, and you're obedient when I'm there, and Paul said, even when I'm not there. So what you need to do now is start working out this management concepts into all the areas of your life so all the areas can get salvaged. Have you got that? If you got it and you believe it and you receive it, say amen. All right? I mean, you got to get this. This is core. So what happens at conversion is we have this enthronement of Christ as Lord. And then in sanctification, we have the progressive working out through all the areas of our life, His management. And I'm telling you, this is all there is to it. Because now, if you just start following the management directions in all the areas of your life, whoa, life more abundantly. That's how simple this really is. All right, now, let's get moving on because our subject today, this is Thomas. Thomas, remember the doubter? And what was his, remember, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So what's Thomas do? He answered and said to Jesus, my Lord. Listen, look at this other scripture. Jesus said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say well, because that's what I am. That's his relationship to us, Master and Lord. You call me Master, and you call me Lord, and you say this well, for so I am. So if I then, your Master, Lord and Master, and then he goes on to tell them what they need to do here. If I'm really your Lord and Master, okay. If I'm really your Lord and Master, let's talk about finances. If I'm really your Lord and Master, let's talk about your marriage. If you're a real Lord and Master, okay, got it? This making Jesus Lord is the part of the gospel. This is the main stuff of the gospel. And I wish, and we might do it on a Wednesday night. I don't know. It's a warning. We might spend a couple of Wednesday nights on soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation, and demonstrate to you, phrase by phrase through the scripture, the doctrinal theological background of this, which is the anecdote to antinomianism. Okay. All right. So, here we go. Today. Why I love Jesus as Lord in my life. Okay? Now, in this room this morning, there are two groups of people. And most of us will not know which group you're in. But what puts you in one group or the other is your identification with either loving the lordship of Jesus in your life, or the other group, you resent it. You resent the lordship of Jesus. You wish He weren't the Lord. In fact, it doesn't cause happiness in you. And we fall into one of those two categories. And I leave that between you and the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the scripture says that the wheat and the tares are supposed to be allowed to grow up together. Now, if you know the background of that, the tares look exactly like the wheat. The problem, if you go and you start to tear up the tares because they're false and they're not real wheat, you damage the wheat because the roots are so close together. Now, this is not an excuse not to have church discipline, because where member or membership or pastor or anybody else has obviously living in open violation of Scripture, then you're no longer a tear that looks like even a tear. You get that? I mean, deep's calling on the deep. I don't know why this morning. I just came here to... And I was lucky to get here this morning. Or I'm blessed to get here this morning. The marathon raced and the police stopped us and wouldn't let us out of our community and said we'd be more than an hour wait time to get out because of some marathon race going on in front of our house. I said, are you kidding? I'm a pastor. I got people waiting for me. Didn't work. It didn't work. There's no respect anymore. You know what I'm saying? So then, I mean, there's hundreds of people going by. I mean, there's nowhere to drive. The road's covered with people. Then another police car came by. So I stopped the other police car, hoping this guy had more seniority than the guy. I was almost going to call Wally and put a word in for me. I said, preacher, we'll get you out of here. And well, how long was it from there? We got here, so I'm happy to be here. I don't know where that came from. What was I talking about? Yeah, good one. How to make it appeal. Two groups of people. The wheat and the tares have to grow up together. The wheat and the tares grow up together until the harvest time comes when He'll send forth His angels. And then He'll separate the wheat and the tares. So if you're a tare, keep coming. Don't want to separate you. If you're a wheat, keep coming. Let's all stay in this together. I make no judgment about whether you're wheat or tare. That's your decision, your judgment. But I tell you, one of the indicators of which side of this you're on
is whether having him in the management position makes you happy versus being seen as an intrusion into your agenda. Go ahead and say, ouch. Okay, all right, here we go. Why do we love the Lordship of Jesus? Okay, I'm going to give you my reasons. In a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to testify some of yours. Number one, it's the only way of salvation. It's the only thing that works. If Jesus is not Lord, then all the rest of your life is going to be in trouble. So let me show you this in Scripture. The Word is near to you, even in your mouth. That is the Word of faith, which we preach. I wish I had time to spend right there, but we don't. Here's the Word of faith, which we preach. This is the Word of faith. Now, there are lots of churches called Word of Faith churches. I'm not trying to straighten that out or discuss it or even analyze it. I am saying here, though, the Scriptures here are saying that the Word of faith, which we preach, is this. Here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be salvaged. I mean saved. Everything gets saved. Everything. Your pocketbook gets saved. Your bank account gets saved. Your marriage gets saved. Everything gets saved by making Jesus the Lord. For with the heart you believe. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What is this confession? What is the confession of the mouth that produces salvation? That Jesus is Lord. Well, the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Well, I wish we had time to talk about this phrase right here, because I happen to be a dispensationalist. I don't think anybody can read the Bible and not be a dispensationalist. That is to say, that God has dealings with the Jewish people, and it's a different deal than he has a dealing with the church. And the church doesn't replace Israel. You got that? That's dispensationalism at the core. Now there are other dispensationalists which go crazy from there. And they have all kinds of ideas there that we haven't got time to get into. But I want you to know that when it comes to the gospel, there's no difference between the Jew getting saved and the Gentile. You get saved now the same way by confessing Jesus as the Lord. You got it? No difference. And the Lord promises to be rich over all them that call upon him. It's the only way of salvation. Number two, it's a sure way. I love this because when Jesus is in the management position, life is positive. There's no uncertainty. There's no double-mindedness. Watch here now. I know, Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. Like, every man is like a blind leader of the blind. The way of man, the way that a person should live his life, is not in himself. Look at this. It is not in man that walketh to be able to direct his steps. So watch here now. Watch here now. Man's goings are of the Lord. He needs management because he's born with management capabilities, and everything he learns from other people born without management capabilities in their educational process does not qualify him to rule in this ultimate management position. Only God. So it's a sure way. Man's goings are of the Lord. How then, look at this question then, how then can a man understand his own way? He can't except from the management's perspective. All right? Now, this is a sure way. I mean, when Jesus is the Lord of your life, a whole lot of stuff gets automatically settled. There are questions you will never have to answer. There are options you will not have anymore because management says no to them and the path is certain. That's why he can say, I know, he knows the path that I take. And when I come forth, I'm going to come out of here like gold tried in the fire. Because my path has been determined now that I'm under management. And I am so happy about that because I have lived, a whole lot of years without double-mindedness. Because there's stuff that when you're under management, just do it. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter what ideas come into my brain. They don't agree with management, they get trashed. The way is sure.
What does it mean to have a sure way? It means to have confidence. 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 But confidence doesn't come from being a braggadocious, cocksure, ego-exalted person. They may exude confidence, but when you have Jesus management, when you've got divine management, oh, you're never going to be off track. Never, 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 never. This is the way. Okay, so it's a sure way. And I like this. It's the way it's simple. It just simplifies life. There's a whole lot of stuff you don't have to deal with anymore. It's simple. I love this about Jesus' love. He's made simple. Now, this simple way was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. And notice it's a highway. A highway it shall be, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Whoa, that's good. And the unclean shall not pass over it. Wash it. But it shall be for those, a wayfaring, way off track man, even if he's a fool, shall not make any mistakes about it. It's simple. Under Christ's management, life becomes simplified. In other words, other stuff that would normally intrude and require energy, thought, decision, and action, they just drop off. Now it's just simple. And I'm going to show you how simple it is. That is why when the apostle wrote in the epistle, he said, I'm concerned about you, lest by any means, just like the serpent tricked Eve, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is a simple way. I like this about Jesus' management. It's simple. I can understand it. Remember the old KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. It is a simple way. Let me tell you how simple it is. When we respond to Jesus properly, that is, we bring him into the management position of our life by repentance of faith, responding to his gospel. Watch this now. Are you ready? This is all that's left. Ready? This is all that's left to do. That's it. Trust and obey. There's no other way. You say it. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. The Christian life. You know, somebody, it's true. Christianity is made for thinking people, and all people should be thinking people because God made us to be thinking people, right? But just because you're thinking people doesn't mean you don't like a simple. The Christian life is as simple as responding to God's gracious offer of redemption. Responding with repentance and faith, which is the dethronement of self and the enthronement of Christ. And then all that's left to do is trust the management, and obey the management. I like this about Jesus. It's not complicated. Just trust and obey. Trust and obey. Two good words. We got one here that says, great, we should trust and obey, but this would be a good one. Okay, hunt me more. Trust and obey. You're wondering what to do? Trust and obey. Trust what? Trust Jesus. Trust his word. Trust what the management says. Trust what the management says. And then do it. And you will be successful. So, let me keep going. Now, I love this about the management of Jesus. It produces an accurate, it gives me an accurate guidance system. Now, I'm about to confess something to my wife in front of you. She doesn't know this, but there's another woman in my life. And I listen to this woman almost every day, and I really like her. I would say I love this woman. In fact, she's never told me her name, but I've nicknamed her. And with all due respect, Chuck, I call her Sarah, because this woman treats me the way Sarah treated Abraham. She's the woman in my GPS. I love that woman. She is true to her gender. She's always telling me what to do. But when I don't do what she tells me to do, she doesn't get mad. She doesn't say, hey, Buster, I told you 5 miles ago to turn right. You didn't. You're on your own. She never said that to me. She never raised her voice. I mean, she just recalculates. I like her. I like her. I don't turn. She just recalculates. Oh, she might give me a second. Do a try, a U-turn. It was legal. She'll say, pick a legal U-turn. And I don't do that. So she just comes on and says, recalculating. Ah, I love that woman. Now, I wouldn't want to try kissing her. You know, I'm afraid after telling this to my wife, and I go to kiss my wife, she might say, well, hey, why don't you go sit in your car and turn on your GPS? You know, this illustration's got some limitations to it, you know. But guidance, I tell you what. Jesus, when you're under management, he gives you guidance. You never get lost. Yeah. You never get lost because he's the way. You never get confused because he's the truth. You never get depressed because he's the life. I love Jesus being Lord of my life. His guidance is accurate. And if I miss the turn, not because I'm belligerent and say, oh, heck with you. But if I happen to miss the turn, he offers a U-turn, a legal one. And then he says to me, but if you miss the U-turn, he recalculates. Because his goal is my highest being. He doesn't want me to get lost. And he wants every area of my life fulfilled. You're under a management that loves you. You're under a management that you can trust. We just have to make sure we're under management. That's why a true Christian will never willfully, deliberately, habitually reject guidance that comes from the Holy Spirit. Because we're under management. And if I'm off doing my own thing, doing my own calculation, it only proves I'm not under management. Now let me say this. This is particularly applicable to people between the age of 12 and 20. Because it's that time in life where you've been trained about the management of following the Lord, but nobody can really put Jesus in the throne of your heart except you. See, nobody else can do that for you. And teenage years are tough years because the real struggle is my own way versus his way. And I tell you that, teenagers, because it's important that you win there. Because it's possible to get off track a long way. Now, he will bring you back. He's willing to bring you back. But it seems like the farther we get off track, the less we even want to come back. Because now we get consumed with our self-management and our idolatries and our agenda and our ambitions. And we're driven by that. Because here's what's happened. We've picked up into the heart other managements. People, places, things. Achievements, goals, ambitions, and they rule. Are you lonely? Do you need a friend? Take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He'll go with you to the end. He'll be your guide. Stay by your side. Teenager, take Jesus today. I love this about you. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And Jesus will let you know when it's time to turn to the right or when it's time to turn to the left. I love Jesus in the management because he gives me guidance. You may not know anywhere else to turn, but if you turn to him, you'll find accurate information. Now, I love Jesus in the management position because he provides solutions for every aspect of my life. Jesus' management. Management is about solving issues, solving problems. Many of the problems we face are the same. We all have the same kind of stuff. Management knows how to deal with it if you're under management. Pity the man who thinks he's smart enough to take the place of God and figure life out. But grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord, the Lordship of him, and the Saviorship. By the way, the word Savior is used 37 times in the Bible. The word Lord is used 7,738 times. Isn't it interesting that we have theologians who will yank the 37 and forget the 7,738 and narrow down a message. It is the antinomian gospel, which is the no lordship gospel. That's what it is, okay? I call it the lordless gospel. The lordless gospel. That is the reason why the sociologists and the surveying companies who survey, quote, evangelical Christian and the world discover very little differences between the two. Because the antinomian gospel does not save. In fact, this is where I'd like to get into the doctrine and the theology with you. It is a perversion of grace, even though they try to claim themselves as grace specialists. It is a false idea. When Jesus is in the management position, he's got solutions for every area of your life. If you've got a marriage issue, don't sweat it. Just go to management and tell you what to do. Got a problem? Financial? You see, wherever you are having difficulty in life, you can probably trace it to the fact that you didn't check with management. And you just went forward, did your own thing. And now you're in the soup. But don't be downhearted about that. Repent. Get back under management. Because this management knows how to redeem stuff. That's why they call him Savior at the same time. That's why he is able to take what you've done wrong and turn it all around and deliver you from it and get you on the right track and settle your ways and send you happily going forward. I love this Jesus. I love his lordship. His lordship is not an intrusion into my life. I love the little chorus we used to sing, rain, Lord, R-E-I-G-N, not rain as in water, but rain as in rule. Rain, Lord, rain, Master Jesus, rain. Rain your spirit in my heart. Rain, Master Jesus, rain. I looked at my hands. They look like men. Rain, Master Jesus, rain. I'll make them work for you. Rain, Master Jesus, rain. I looked at my lips. I said, rain, Lord, I'll make them speak for you. I looked at my eyes. I looked at my ears. I looked at my mind. I said, Lord, rain, Master Jesus, rain. I think I'll think for you. If you have some kind of an inferiority, I don't care what area it's in. You may think that you may be happy and nobody knows you're thinking. You think you're somewhat of a retard or you're not as sharp as you think you should be. Let me tell you something. You put your brain, you bring your mind under management. And the transformation that will happen in your brain is incredible. Your mind gets renewed. Did you hear that? And old fuzzy thinking, false philosophy, wrong ideas get replaced because management is capable of training your brain the right way. I love his lordship. There isn't any area of life you haven't got a fix for, a solution. Any area. There's nothing broke that he can't fix. There's no sin that he cannot cleanse. There's no wrong that he cannot right. He's got solutions. Point A, point B. If you go back to your geometry class, grade 7, 8, I don't know, whenever you took geometry, you learned the definition of a straight line. Now watch here. For a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Now, if you try to get from A to B any other way than the straight line, it's going to be longer. If you just go up here a bit and then over to here, that's longer. You try to go here, that's longer. Doesn't matter where you go on this diagram from A to B, if you do anything other than a straight line, it will not be the shortest distance. I don't want you to miss this now. This management of our lives by Christ, this management provides the shortest distance between any two points. If you're at point A, and you should be at point B, and you follow management, it's going to look like that. It's too bad. Watch. It's too bad that the Israelites, when they got out of Egypt, remember? Delivered. The parting of the Red Sea. And they walk across on dry land, and they're heading for the Promised Land. So this was Egypt, and this is the Promised Land. It's too bad they wouldn't listen to God, because they wandered. Did they get here? 33 years. Do you know how long it would take them to go from Egypt to Canaan? 11 days. I don't know where you're wandering, what areas of your life you're wandering in, but let me give you my best advice. Consult with the management. And what you do after you find what he tells you to do? Trust and obey. And you'll get from point A to point B in quick order. If you think the redemption of your finances is a tough job for him, you have another thing coming. He knows how to fix in 11 days what you'll take 33 years and may never. You want this marriage to be what it should be? You follow management. And he'll do in 11 days what 33 years of other stuff in your married life will not do. You want to know how to raise your children? You check with management. Because it's the shortest distance between two points. I love the Lordship of Jesus in my life because he's got solutions for everything. Let me give you a little. I'm sorry. This is like, I don't know why this thing's growing in me, but it's probably for you. Do you know one of the side benefits of this? Not a worry in the world. There's no problem, no issue, no devil that management doesn't know exactly how to deal with. You worried about what might happen tomorrow? Stop worrying. That's faith in the devil. Just trust and obey. Find out what management says. And it's not hard to find out what management says. Because a lot of it's written down. That's why you ask my wife. And this is true of her as much as it's for me. And I'm so happy about that with my wife. That the most joyful thing we do in any day, and we do it every day, is search this. You get the inside track. Now, I like this about being under management, about the Lordship of Jesus. It diminishes temptation. Oh, really? Preacher, how does it do that? And it's really, I wish I had some screen space here. Let me see if I got any screen space here. Yeah, let me take you to the next screen. Let me go through the scripture and then we'll get the next screen and give me a space to draw a diagram. There's no temptation taking you, but such as come, we all got it. We all got temptation, right? But when you're under management, watch this. When you're under management, something different happens. God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you can deal with, but will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape. Now, this is the shocking thing about this verse. You're going to make a way to escape that he may be able to bear it. He's going to give you the capability of escaping the temptation without taking the temptation away. That's what that verse is saying. You follow? He's able to make a way to escape that you may be able to... Now, there are certainly some temptations you can escape by changing your geography. There's some of those. I recommend it, too. Now, watch this. So, for you, dealing with temptation is the same temptation every human being has, but you've got an edge now. Because when you're under management, he's going to make a provision for you to escape the temptation, even though it's there. Now watch the next verse. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Let me see what I put in next. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Watch here now. Idolatry is having something or someone other than God in the management position. I don't know if are you getting it? I mean, I really want you to see the Bible more than anything else there. If you understand, this is the next verse. This is verse 13 and 14. Go back here. The way to escape, that you may be able to bear it, because he's got this available to you, don't have any other management. Because him giving you the way to escape requires his management. He's the only one who knows how you can escape. Now, let me show you. So that's why my diagram is here. Don't put anything else here except Jesus, because you won't escape temptation. So how does the Lordship of Jesus help you escape
temptation. Okay, ready? Let's suppose that this is you, because it looks more like you than it does me. And let's suppose that there's a temptation over here, and there's a temptation here, and a temptation here, temptation here, and this is the way you should be walking here. But you're surrounded by these temptations. Now watch this. Here's what makes temptations virtually disappear. Jesus in the management position, right? Management means he's in the position of ultimate management, authority. He's in the God position. He's in the master position, the rulership, the Lord position. And the management says, thou shalt not look on a woman to lust after her in your heart. Or management says, flee youthful lust. Or management says, whatever. Watch now. Because we're under command, because that's what it means to be under management, right? Because we're under command, there's a number of these, I'm going to put T's here, these temptations. There's a number of these temptations that get eliminated by the command. So I know that I'm not to commit adultery. So, end of discussion. Because I'm under management. So the temptation of adultery it's still there, but it doesn't have the power, because when you're under management, you have commands that disqualify those temptations from being yours because you're under management. Does that make sense? Are you getting it? And when it talks about this temptation over here might be to covet something somebody else has. Thou shalt not covet. No. All of a sudden, you don't have to go shopping. All of a sudden, you don't have to go and try and get it for yourself. You know why? Because temptations, they're still hanging out there. But when you're under management, management instructions eliminate so many of them that there's hardly any left. And I love this about God. I don't face near as much temptation now because I remember, oh, others may, I cannot. I'm under management. The Lord, the boss says no. And see, if I'm really under management, when he says no, it's no. It's that simple. If he says no and I say yes, then I'm not under management. You understand? And the goal of the Christian life is, having received Jesus in the management position, to start working out into all these areas his lordship and all the things that once be temptations. Like, even commercials on television lose a whole lot of appeal. I mean, they're all dangling great stuff in front of you, they think. Doesn't mean a thing to you. I don't know, I'm under management. Beauty is vain. Go sell somewhere else. I'll stick with my uglies. Temptation doesn't have near the power. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh. Causes increased productivity. Under management causes increased productivity. It's almost like the straightest line, the shortest distance between two point things. But it's beyond that. Now I want you to think for a moment with me. Are you guys okay? I'm just up here having a good time by myself. Are you okay? All right. Because I'm having a good time. Because I'm getting to tell you about what I love about the Lord and his rulership in my life. But I want you to think for a moment about your finances or the stuff in your life. And you're trying to work out your finances. You're trying to maneuver and all this stuff. And so you come up with some basic ideas that you apply to your finances. Okay? And watch it now. But the scripture comes along and says, and I don't think this is in your notes, there is that withholds more than you should, but it causes poverty. You think, if I cut back here, I'll have more, but if you cut back in the wrong place, you get more poverty. Now, that does not make sense to the unsanctified mind. There are other things where the management says this is where you should put your money. Watch this now. Because, watch it now, there is that scattereth, and yet it causes increase. Now, how are you going to figure out which one's which? The answer? Start with management. I love this. Oh, my. Let me show it to you. Let me give you another verse. This one's in your notes. This is the book of the law. Should not depart out of the mouth. You should be talking about this all the time. Should always be in your mouth. In your mouth. In your mouth. All that. Talk it to your wife and spouse and children. Talk it to anybody who'll listen to you. Talk, 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 talk. Talk. Get the word in your mouth. The book shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate during day and night. Now watch this. That thou mayest observe to do. Now there's lordship right there. We don't just think about it for the sake of thinking about it.
We don't just talk for the sake of talking it. We do it so that we can do what it says. That's lordship. Now watch this. To do according to what is written therein. For then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Directly related to lordship. Directly related to obeying the law that's in your mind and in your mouth. Got it? And God is able to straighten everything out real quick. Now, it depends how deep the hole you've already got yourself into, but His goal is to get you out of it and get you on a track and establish your ways in every area of your life. It causes increased productivity. He talked about time management. The book's full of stuff about time. How to redeem the time because the days are evil. Because, again, we've got to work out this lordship with fear and trembling. Work it out. Stop doing what you've been doing because you'll keep getting what you've got. Check with management. It will increase your productivity. And lastly, I love Jesus as Lord of my life because it is the preparation for eternity. You don't really think, do you, that in eternity everybody's going to just be able to do their own thing? No. Lordship gets established here, so when you get there, you already know the rules. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will is being done in heaven. Do you really think that you can go to heaven without lordship? Nope. It's the preparation. Here's how we know. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How come you got cut down to the ground? Because you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Look at this. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Ain't going to happen. God will not give eternal life to selfish beings, give them supernatural bodies and abilities in eternity, because you'd wreck the universe. I would wreck the universe. Lucifer had free course up there, but you know what he did? He exalted the throne in his heart. He kicked God out of there, and he put I in there. I will exalt my throne. I can run the throne better than he can. I can run my life better than God can. I got better ideas than God. And he got kicked out. He wanted, Satan changed the throne thing here. He put his ego here. I'll exalt my throne. I will. Look at it. I will. I will. I will. I will. But you will be brought down to the sides of the pit. The lordship of Jesus in our life here is preparation. This is what it's going to be like there. Because nobody's going to be allowed to get in the planetary systems and the star and stellar systems of the universe and mess with it. He will not allow anybody who's not under management there. So, that's okay with me. I want to get there. And I'm willing to be under management when I am there. Because if I'm not under management, I won't be there. In the meantime, the evidence, Jesus, you're my Lord right now and I'm loving it. You know why I'm loving it? I'm loving it because it's the way of salvation. It's a sure way. It's a simple way. It's got guidance. It provides solution to every aspect of life. It diminishes the power of temptation. It causes increased productivity. And it's getting me ready for eternity. I love the gospel. I love Jesus. And I love His lordship in my life. And I'm a happy camper. How about you? Now listen, I mentioned earlier, there are two groups here. If you see the lordship of Jesus as an intrusion to your agenda, you're in dangerous waters.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.